Hey, I'm Emma.
Hey, I'm Zoe.
And we're roommates who read.
Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 13 of Roommates Who Read. This week we are going to be talking about Allie Hazelwood and her most recently published book. So that's The Left Hypothesis and then the three Stemness novellas. Zoe has a little explaining to do for herself.
So it is my fault that we didn't have an episode last week. Last week was my first week back at law school for my second year, and it was a doozy. I don't think Emma has seen me less in the last 5 years that we've lived together. Also, it was just our 5-year roommate anniversary. but that was on me. That Emma was like, when are we going to record the podcast this week? And I was like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to record it or edit it or come up with social media. So
we took a little hiatus.
We may have ghosted you for a week.
But that's okay. We're back.
Yeah.
We have content planned.
We have it planned. We're recording in advance now.
We're going to be prepared.
Prepped.
We're going to be prepared. But before we dive into this week's episode, where are we going?
Are we returning to the Literary Libation Station?
We are returning. This week, we're drinking Olive's Love Potion. Olive is the main character in The Love Hypothesis. I tried really, really hard to come up with a science name for this. It's supposed to look like cell culture media because Olive does pancreatic cancer research, and so I'm assuming she would probably culture cells.
That means so little to me.
Well, for those who know, cell culture media is red. But we tried.
Emma didn't like, I went on like thesaurus.com and I was looking up synonyms for potion, and Emma just didn't like any of the synonyms.
No.
But Olive's Love Potion was my idea, so I was not that committed to changing it anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, so in this potion, there's vodka.
Ooh, in this potion.
There's vodka, grapefruit juice, simple syrup, and cranberry juice.
And there's a little extra something. We thought it needed a little
and
pizzazz.
A Bud Light lime seltzer. We bought Sprite for a previous drink, and I ended up dumping it out when we came back from the beach because I cleaned out the fridge, and it was just, there's a lot of things in it. And I pitched it, and I shouldn't have, and it needed something.
It needed a little fizz. It needed a little lemon
juice.
Lime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine without the seltzer, but it was just a little flat. That's how I felt about it. Yeah.
So we added a little bubble.
So you don't have to use a Bud Light seltzer if you care about your liver. We don't. So you could, you could use Sprite like we would have if Emma had not.
You could use LaCroix. You could probably use club soda. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that deep.
Fizzy.
You also could admit the simple syrup if you don't. Like if you just use juice, that's fine.
Yeah.
This is to really choose your own adventure. I just wanted something red for the cell culture meeting.
Emma was really dedicated to it.
It was.
Wait, Emma, can you tell them what we're drinking out of? Because I picked this special for you. And I want it put into the world that I did this for you.
We are drinking out of beakers that we purchased on Amazon. I did not take them from my lab because that would be illegal and potentially hazardous to our health.
Yeah, I just get monkey herpes or something.
Herp. I had been talking about getting a beaker mug for a long time. They make beakers with like handles on them, and Zoe's like,
I was looking for one. That's what I was looking for you.
She was like, what if we get these for the episode? Which you can order like on Amazon. They have Pyrex beakers, which is what we use in the lab. They're very expensive.
Yeah, they were like $50.
Yeah, but we ordered a pack of them. You will see them featured on the gram.
Yeah, I did not buy the $50 beakers. No, I don't care about Emma's science fetish that much.
That's my career, not a fetish.
Call it what you want, baby.
Oh, God. Okay, but before we get further into the pod, what are you reading this week? Have you started anything?
I am reading the law this week.
What was the most recent class reading you did?
Family law yesterday.
I need you to take a picture when we do our little story. I need you to take a picture of your textbook and put it in there.
Oh, my God. You guys have got to see my family law textbook. My professor makes it, instead of making us buy a textbook, he just prints out all the cases and get to the school.
You still had to buy it though, right?
It was only like $25. Okay, and it's billed straight to like your tuition. Yeah. Because he doesn't want you to have to buy a textbook. He just picks out the cases, mm-hmm. has them printed, the school puts them together. It probably weighs like 7 pounds.
What do we name it? Fanny?
Fanny. Fanny the Family Law. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an icon. It's something.
Ugh, she's so heavy. She's
large.
Thick.
It's like a 4-inch binder.
It's bigger.
At least.
I feel like it's bigger. But, what are you reading? Back to the world of joy and fun. What are you reading?
This week, I'm reading Glow, which is the fourth book in the Plated Prisoner series. Mm. So I finished books 2 and 3 while we were at the beach. I read 3 books while we were at the beach. Actually, I finished the third book once we got back, but I started it at the beach. It's really good so far. And I do appreciate... So the end of the third book, there's some shit that goes down and, you know...
There's always some shit that goes down at the end of the book.
They have dual trauma. They have shared trauma. Yeah, and obviously. Instead of just kind of pushing past it, there's some back and forth where he's like, tell me what's going on. She's like, no. And he goes, tell me. And she goes, no. And they kind of have like a come to Jesus moment and they work through it all together. And it's actually really healthy. Like he's sitting down and talking to her like, you know, all this stuff that happened obviously was a negative experience, but like you overcame X, Y, and Z. Like it's an overall positive experience. And I appreciate that from a fantasy novel because usually either they just fuck it and ignore it, like quite literally fuck it out and ignore it.
That's literally what I was about to say.
Or they just generally ignore it or it just lingers for a really long time, but they're like actively trying to work through it together, which I feel like is very positive.
Yeah. Or it comes back up 2 books later and you're like, hey, we didn't talk about when that happened.
Yeah.
I would like to update the people about my reading, actually, because I want the world to know that while we were at the beach, I finished Voyager. Oh. I finished the Outlander book. I also started another, then I finished one of the Stemmas novels that we're going to talk about, but I started this other book that I got on a Kindle deal. Mm. It was not very good. So I had to DNF it, and I don't DNF books.
You're not even gonna come back to it?
No, it was just so... I bought it because the main character had my name.
Oh, yes, sorry, I was thinking of it wrong.
And, like, spelled the same way as me, which I just don't find often.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading it, and I really hated the writing, and I was like, no.
But you started another Kindle book.
Yeah, and it was just too... It was a little too involved to be a beach read.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll come back to that one eventually, just not right now.
Yeah. I also read Rock the Boat by Bechtory Stein while we were at the beach. 1,000 out of 10 would recommend it to everyone. It was fantastic. I loved it. It was a great beach read. It was a great book. It's kind of like a midlife coming of age story. It was amazing. I cried at the end. It was wonderful. I recommend to all the people. So I think once you have time again in your life,
you should I'll call you in a year and a half.
I also have some comedic material.
Oh god.
So when I was looking up names for the drink, I came across biology jokes that are so funny they sell themselves. So I want to read some to you. Why wouldn't the scientist go to the haunted house?
Why not?
He was petrified.
I get that one. Like a petri dish?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you call it when your green biology is close to an F?
Me? Freshman year?
Bio-degraded. What do biologists post on Instagram?
What?
Selfies.
God.
Why aren't students allowed in the biology teacher's lounge?
Why not?
It's staff only. Oh, you don't care.
Like a staff infection?
Okay. S-T-A-P-H staff. What do you
call... It's the he before you get started for me.
What do you call an organic compound with an attitude?
What?
An amine acid. These are funny. Why did the bacteria cross the microscope?
To get to the other slide?
Yes. I'm proud of you. All right, so that's our final, first and final foray into a comedy podcast.
But
Anyways.
Emma Milligan, resident comedian.
Book time.
Back to the books.
Before we go any further, I feel like we have to address the elephant in the room.
What's the elephant in the room?
The love hypothesis is originally a Reylo fanfic.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what are we not discussing? Have I missed something?
I know you imagined Adam as Adam Driver.
Yeah, but like, kind of like, not exactly Adam Driver, but a tall, dark, handsome man with a big nose. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of loosely Adam Driver.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just had to say that. I feel like we've mentioned it before on the podcast, but I just want to say it before we get into the book. Because Allie Hazelwood, I guess she wrote this on, what is it,
AO3?
Yeah. I think that's where it was originally published.
Archive of Our Own.
Where does the 3 come in?
Archive A. Mm-hmm. Of Our Own. 3. AO3. 3 O's. AO3.
Oh! Oh!
One day I am going to make you do a fanfic episode. And you're going to have to get on to AO3. Side note, does anyone else remember fanfic.net?
No.
Just wondering.
No. Only you.
If you do, can you let me know? Because I feel like it's like a weird fever dream in my life. But I read a lot of Harry Potter fanfic on there.
Mm-hmm. That checks out. Okay. Do we want to go over the premise of the book?
Yeah. Would you like to?
Yeah, I can give a quick synopsis.
I feel like it's hard for you to fuck this up.
That's bold of you.
You don't need to give a lot of... Just give a general overview of what the... You don't need to go into details.
Okay. So the two main characters are Adam, aka Adam Driver, Dr. Adam...
Carlson.
Carlson, thank you.
Yep.
And Olive... I don't know her
Smith?
Last name.
I really feel like her name is Olive Smith.
Anyways, so Olive... is a PhD student at Stanford. She's in the biology department or cellular biology, some sort of biology program.
Don't look at me.
Dr. Adam Carlson is a professor in the department. Adam is there one night when she told...
He's mean, scary, like...
bad professor, but
everyone's scared of him.
Genius level professor. Like,
he's like
super
a Snape.
Smart.
Like, he just is like kind of a jerk to everyone. Okay. That's the vibe I got.
Interesting. Interesting comparison. And... so Olive is at the lab late one night and she told her friend that she was going on a date, and then her friend ends up walking into the lab, and so Adam kisses this random guy in the hallway. Olive kisses this random guy in the hallway who ends up being Dr. Carlson, aka Adam. And so then there's this whole fake dating trope where Olive approaches him later on and it's like, hey, I kind of need to sell this fake relationship to my friend because she wants to go out with this guy that I used to have a crush on, but now I don't have a crush on him anymore, so I need to sell that I'm over this guy for her.
Yeah.
So they set up some rules of fake dating. One of them is they do a coffee date on like Wednesdays or something. And so that's like a standing feature of the book.
Yeah.
And then in their fake dating before they... start real dating, because you know it's
you know what's gonna
it's a
happen
romance novel.
Like
there's some like awkward department things that they have to do together.
Yeah.
Like they all go to the park and there's like a department picnic and they're
Don't spoil it for the people that are gonna read it, because reading it was the most cringe moment of my life.
Anyway, so it's not an enemies to lovers,
it's a fake dating
trope.
Yeah.
Grumpy
Sunshine.
Yeah. Okay. I have a few things I want to say before we get into the plot more.
Tell me about the STEM.
So, Olive does pancreatic cancer research specifically, and there's a whole backstory to why she does it, and that gets revealed in the book, and I don't want to spoil it if you haven't read it, because I think it's really sweet. But any type of cancer research, or just, like, science in general, is both collaborative but also extremely competitive. And so, in the book... So the way graduate school works is that some programs you do different rotations, but ultimately the last like 4 to 5 years of your PhD, you're doing one specific.
I'm sorry, the last 4 to 5 years, isn't it like 5 years?
5 to 6 years.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
The last, because usually your first year or your first 1 to 2 years, you take classes, But usually by the second year of your PhD program, you've started working with a specific professor on your thesis project. And so the professor that Olive is working with, she's retiring.
Yeah.
So she's kind of having this conflict of whether or not she's going to transfer, or if she's going to stay in the department, or if she's just going to switch to a different department or switch to a different professor. And so she's trying to pitch her project to different professors to secure more funding, essentially, so she can continue on with her project and finish with her PhD. So either she's going to transfer or she's going to secure funding from someone else. And so there are aspects of the book that are very much true to a graduate school experience. And there's some other stuff that happens at this one conference that Olive go to where she gets to present. And essentially not her legitimacy, but her credibility gets challenged because she's a woman, because of her position and everything that's going on. And people are at the conference are basically suggesting the only reason that she gets to present her work in a, because the way conferences work is you submit your abstract, which is a quick summary of your project, and you can either get selected for a poster, which there are a ton of posters, and it's still an important thing to do, but then you can also get selected for a talk, and you give a presentation, a 20-minute talk on your work, which is a little bit more prestigious. And people are suggesting the only reason that Olive gets selected for a talk versus a poster versus just a general attendee is because of her connections. And they're kind of downplaying her accomplishments and her science because she's a woman. And just there's a bunch of insinuations that happen. And there's a whole other conflict point that I won't get into because I think it gets a little spoilery.
Yeah. it do. I was when you started talking, I was like, if she drops one of the biggest spoilers of the whole book in this conversation, I'm going to throw her out the window.
Yeah, but it's a... there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens, which I think is true to, a woman's STEM experience. I can't say that I have actively been discriminated against, but the stereotypes exist for a reason. Some of them are true. But some major caveats to this book. This is not realistic whatsoever. Even though they kind of explain in a way when Adam and Olive start officially dating, even when they're fake dating, that it's fine because he's not on her thesis committee. He's not her direct boss. He's just another professor in the department and she's a graduate student. That would not matter. that would not... It's the
and
same
it feels
kind of
higher stakes if you're a grad student.
Yeah, especially because grad programs are pretty small, and they're at Stanford, which is a pretty selective school, so there can't be that many people. Anyways, it's just one thing that bothered me. I'm like, this is not, it's not realistic at all. So that was just one of my qualms with the book. But
as someone who is not in science, I was like, oh, yes, this explanation makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's fine.
No. And I just kind of had to ignore it for the plot of the book. But even, when they're at they do stuff with the department, or, they're seen together on campus, I don't know. Our department chair would be like, what the hell is going on with y'all? This is not okay. But, yeah, those are just the aspects of the women in STEM career, mostly accurate. There's some other stuff that goes, graduate school experience, accurate. But the premise, not accurate.
Mm. You mean when you go to grad school next year, you're not going to start fake dating a professor to appease me?
No.
Mm. Okay, interesting. Interesting. Gonna cross that off my expectations list. So beyond that, general reactions to the book from Emma.
I really like the book. I think it was sold to me as being more spicy than it actually was.
I agree.
Which is something I feel I'm interested that you're saying this.
I'm self-aware. I know that I don't read very spicy books. Okay, it was spicy for me.
We'll talk about the romance in a little bit later. But overall, it was really good. It was really cute. It's well written. Really the love story that plays out is very cute. I like the science aspects. It kind of just is a fun little bonus for me.
Yeah, I had to skirt over whenever there would be a, if she would start talking about something specific that she was doing, I'd just have to be like, yes, I know these words. I know what you're doing right now.
But yeah, overall, it's a really good book. I definitely recommend it to people.
Mm-hmm. I know, we were trying to find your copy the other day, actually, and we realized that we have recommended it so many times that Emma has given her copy to someone else to read, and we were like, oh, shoot, we don't have that. I was not, like, super jazzed to read. I don't know, I just...
You did not want to read it, and I have really had to push you to read it.
You did, and then I was really obsessed with it.
You loved it.
I also, I'm just a really big slut for Adam Driver.
I know.
In a respectful way, Mr. Driver. not to make you uncomfortable, but, like, I... As soon as I heard that it was a Raylo fanfic, and I could immediately picture him as, like, vaguely Adam Driver, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm down for this.
Yeah. Well, you were also worried it was going to be too science-y.
Yeah, I was. Which
it wasn't.
And I do like that about her books is, like, we'll talk maybe a little bit more about this in the STEMness novellas part, but, like, there are definitely some times where I'm reading the book and I'm, like, I don't know exactly, like, what you're describing right now, but at the same time, it doesn't impede me from reading.
Yeah.
Like, I still get the story, I still enjoy the story, even though sometimes she says a word and I'm, like, ooh, what does that mean?
Do you have any other comments about the plot or, like, the overall flow of the book? Or the way the fake dating trope played out?
I don't really like fake dating tropes.
Which I really do. I just think it's fun.
Yeah. I just get kind of, like, tired of it at some point, because you can tell that they have feelings for each other, and you're like, oh my god, just, like...
Work it out.
Yeah. Which is another reason I was kind of hesitant to read it, but I actually do like the way that the fake dating trope played out in this book. Like, by the end, when things are, you know, everything's resolved and they're, like, they've moved past the fake dating part to the real dating part, I was just like, yes! Finally!
Yeah. And it later comes, like, as the book goes on and once they kind of confess their feelings to each other, you find out that Adam has been obsessed with
pining
her.
After her for, like, saw her when she came for her orientation or something,
for her interview,
and was like, this is the most beautiful girl I've ever seen, and has been thinking about her for 3 years.
And I don't feel like I picked up on that as I was reading until the end.
I didn't either,
so it was kind of like a fun little, like, like, just a wonderful little twist.
Yeah, I think it's one of Adam's friends that, like, reveals it to her. And I was like,
oh my god,
everything makes sense now,
because he's very standoffish.
Yeah, and, like, you wouldn't imagine that just walking up to a stranger in the hallway and macking on him is a really great, like, I would be alarmed if someone did that to me.
The whole reason he's been obsessed with her for this long is because she comes for, this happens at the very beginning.
Yeah, this is the first chapter.
Yeah, this is not a spoiler. She comes for her interview, and she has kind of, like, expired contacts in or something.
Yeah, something goes wrong with her contacts. Yeah. She can't see very well.
And so she's in the bathroom.
But she accidentally goes into the private bathroom for his lab, like.
Or she's in the men's bathroom. Something happens.
No, I think it was really specific to his lab. Oh. Like,
anyways, but she just is talking to this man.
And she can't see him.
She can't see him, and he's, like, kind of teasing her. And this is when he, like, the moment that he falls in love with her. And she ends up coming to Stanford. And
they don't interact at all before the little kiss in the hallway.
This is her, like, second or third year of PhD. They kiss, and then you later find out that from his friend that he's been obsessed with her since he first saw her, which is, it was just really cute.
Yeah, that, no, it is. There's also, I'm pretty sure there's a scene at the conference where, so Adam, he's very, like, when I say grumpy sunshine trope, he is grump. Like, this man drinks straight black coffee, only eats, like, vegetable. Like, he does not love joy in the form of chocolate or anything. No. And I don't know if you remember this, but I feel like I remember this scene where he gives her a granola bar that has, like, it was chocolate covered or something, and she takes it, and it's after, like, they, like, you know, he, like, hates the truth. They both leave the room or whatever. And it's after they're separated that she realizes that he hates chocolate. So he obviously brought it just for her. And you're like,
It was really cute.
It was really cute.
Yeah. When his friend starts talking about Adam's been obsessed with this girl, I picked up that it was Olive. But I don't think I realized the level and, like, the intention behind it until he kind of confesses when they have their, like, come to Jesus moment and confess to each other.
Because you don't know that the guy in the first scene is Adam, but, like...
No, you don't.
But, like, also, if you've been around the block, if you... Like, who would this random man be? Yeah. Like, Yeah. This random guy that never comes back into the picture.
Yeah. No, he's going to come back around.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the romance.
Do you want to talk about the spice?
Yeah. So, again, fake dating trope. We said we really like the romance. We like the way it progressed. It was sold to me as a spicy book.
Yeah.
And it is not. There is a singular
There's one sex scene. And it's not a bad sex. There are some things that you find cringe.
It's bad. It's good, but it's bad.
There are cringy moments of it, but it's overall a fine sex scene for a book.
Yeah. And it happened at an appropriate moment where, yes, like, the tension had been built up and you're like, yes, when they finally get together.
And they're comfortable with you. It's not rushed. It's, no. It seems like a very natural, like, relationship progression into a sexual relationship moment. Yes.
But there's this one part, and you can probably find stuff about this on, like, BookTok or Bookstagram.
Oh, yeah.
But there's this writing where, essentially, in the scene, Adam fits Olive's entire boob in his mouth.
I feel like Allie Hazelwood, she must not have meant that.
No, but
probably just was
time,
not clear enough.
Yeah, it was kind of.
I didn't pick up on, like.
I remember reading the sex scene and having to reread lines because I
was confused during it. But I think when I saw this, like, entire boob moment, I was probably just like,
what?
Because this is going to sound so, I just remember reading the sex scene and being like, the schematics of this. Like, I'm not 100% sure what you guys are doing.
Logistically, how is this happening?
I cannot figure out what the two of you are doing
right now.
Because
they started off on the floor.
Did they?
I don't know. I just remember rereading it being like, how did we get from A to B and why are we at F? Like,
yeah.
How did we get
so
to
I think
these
I
words?
Probably saw that part about the boob and I was just like, I'm already a little bit confused about what's happening here. But once you pointed it out to me, ever since then I have been thinking about what kind of chest does Olive have? Obviously, because as someone who is fairly well endowed in the chest region, if someone tried to fit my whole boob in their mouth, you'd have to unhinge your jaw like a snake.
Imagine. Oh. Let me take these out real quick.
And by these, I mean my mandible.
Yeah, it just, people have brought that up before, yeah. And I'm like,
as soon as you pointed it out to me, I was like,
And there's, what are you doing down there?
There's a graham cracker in my boob pocket.
Nipple.
I'm wearing a t-shirt right now that has, you know, like a frocket, like a sorority girl t-shirt, you know, and I saw a graham cracker in the pocket.
We did eat graham crackers today. This is not like some ancient relic.
No, this is just for lunch.
Anyways.
Back to the sex scene.
There's also, so Olive is like really shy and she hasn't hooked up with that many people.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's this whole thing where she reveals that like no guy has ever like made her orgasm, and Adam has this kind of whole like freak out moment where he's like, I'm going to worship you in his deep man
that's
voice.
What I do love about romance men, they're always ready to worship the woman.
Yeah, love, but
not just in the bedroom, like in like
yeah
kiss the ground they walk on.
Yeah. And Olive is getting, she's like stripping and a semi-seductive way, and
are
she's
talking about the socks.
Yes, she's like a goofy, like, I'm different from other girls. I'm a STEM lady. You know, just like a little quirky.
Yeah.
And she has on these, in my mind, I could be wrong about the colors, but they're like these green and white striped.
They were definitely green because there's
socks.
A thing about Olive and green.
Yeah. And she's about to take them off, or she's kind of embarrassed. And he's like, no, leave them on. But just is funny to me.
I will say, when I was on Tumblr, like kind of looking for like fan art, like content type stuff, someone points out that Olive is actually like demisexual, and there's not a lot of representation of demisexual people in romance books, which I just thought was a really great, like,
yes,
it's not something I picked up on as a straight woman who, but like, I was like, oh, that's actually, like, I was just like, oh, she's picky about the men she sleeps with, but yeah. And then I got on Tumblr.
But yeah, it's just, it was sold to me as a really spicy book, and I was expecting a lot because it was an AO3
I feel like it might have. I have heard that in the OG fanfic, there's a scene where they have sex in his office, and he he does the whole throws everything onto the floor so she could get on the desk, But I think they probably got cut in editing.
Yeah. Anyways, those are all still a good book.
There's also a bonus chapter.
Oh, yes.
And if you go on Allie Hazelwood's website, all you have to do is subscribe to, her newsletter or something.
Mm-hmm. Also probably exists on the interwebs somewhere.
It probably does. And then you get, the code to, but it's the sex scene told from Adam's point of view. Mm-hmm. And you just get to hear this man, he's, after 3 years of pining for this woman, this is it. And he just thinks she's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
And he also hasn't been in, once he realized he was in love with Olive,
That was
when
it
he
for
first
him.
Met her, he has not been with anyone. He hasn't dated anyone, And so it's this whole thing. He's like, my entire life is coming together. Ah.
I'm pretty sure. Now, this could also be in a fanfic, so don't quote me on this. But I'm pretty sure in the end of, maybe not the end of the sex scene, of the bonus chapter. But, I really feel like there's a reference to the fact that she's wearing green underwear, and he says something about how he thinks green is his new favorite color.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Which is, it's not, I wouldn't describe it as cute, but I was it made my little romance heart flutter.
Anyways, great book. Highly recommend. Now we're going to talk about the STEM and STEM models.
And if you love Adam Driver like I do, in a respectful way. You should read the book, and you should imagine Adam Driver.
You should.
In all his Kylo Ren glory.
So, I realize I've made a fatal flaw. A fatal error.
I'm finally free.
Right before we recorded the second segment, I was like, oh my gosh, we didn't do a flow for this episode. So the flow for this segment.
Oh, no. No.
Yes.
No.
I'm doing it.
She pushed me.
The flow for this segment is going to be all about the STEMness novellas. We're going to do a quick overview, and then we're going to talk about each STEMness novella individually, and then we're going to talk about
what's the
favorites.
Quick overview?
I've got one in mind. Don't worry about it.
It's not in the show notes.
It's in my brain notes.
I'm so glad that you have a degree in neuroscience, and I can just be like, yes, the brain notes. That's very scientific.
It's in my... I don't know what the memories are. They're sort of all across your brain. They're in my Heb ensembles. Boom.
You could have just made that up. I hope you know.
It's not. The Hebbian memory ensemble.
You could have said anything, and you knew that I could not refute it.
I could have said the medulla oblongata. But that's not it. That's about motion.
You could have said the...
pituitary gland.
You could have said the heebie-jeebie, and I would have been like, yeah, the heebie-jeebie. That's part of my brain.
Anyways, I'm taking control. The flow for this episode. Starting
Help!
Off...
Free me!
Starting off with a quick overview of the STEMness novellas. There are 3 short novels, aka novellas.
Good job, bring those.
That Allie Hazelwood released this summer. I think they came out
May, June, July. Yeah.
And
we yabbed together.
And they're about these 3 best friends who were all in the same PhD program. They all have different PhDs. And each book focuses on one of the 3 friends.
Yeah, they went their separate ways after graduation.
Yeah.
And so they're all in new cities making new lives.
Yeah, and they're all in their jobs post PhD. So the first one is...
It's called Under One Roof.
Yes.
And... So it came out in May. It's there's a little forced proximity trope, a little enemies to lovers. And so it's about the first of the girls. Her name's Mara.
Mm-hmm.
She is an environmental engineer.
Mm-hmm. I like how you just took over this plot summary. That's what I was cueing you to do, and you just knew.
Well, I wrote this one, so yeah, I thought I'd take it. And she works for the EPA. In D.C. Mm-hmm. And her professor, her mentor in her PhD
her
program.
Advisor.
Sure.
That's what they're called.
Has just passed away.
Died.
And I guess she didn't have any of her own children.
No.
She's got a strained relationship with her family. So in her will, she leaves part of her family's D.C. home to Mara.
Which is just weird. It's a weird concept.
Yeah. But
the kicker is.
The kicker here is that she has to share it with her professor's nephew, who's like about the same age as Mara, but he's like this, he does big law if you're a, I don't, do you?
Corporate law?
Yeah, he does corporate law.
Mm-hmm.
He works for like an oil company.
He works
company.
For a fossil fuel company. Yeah,
fossil fuel company. And so
the irony.
Mara immediately is like, fuck you, like you're the worst. Yeah. And they don't get along at all. So they hate each other, they have to live together. And I think we all know how this ends.
Yeah. It's a little enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
It's the books are all probably what, like 120 to 150 pages.
Yeah, about that.
We'll probably get into this a little bit more, but I know this is our least favorite out of the three
yeah.
of them.
That is the next thing I have in the notes.
It's a cute little plot. Most of the plot of the book is what's happening, like, in their house.
Yeah.
Because they're under one roof.
Oh, funny.
She's talking about how he's just, like, a shitty roommate and
he doesn't
all this
recycle
stuff.
His, you know, graham cracker, but I'm just saying that because I pulled the graham cracker out of my pocket. But, like, he doesn't recycle. He turns the thermostat up to bug her, like, that kind of stuff.
Eventually, they kind of have this moment where she's like, why, you know, they have a fight.
Yeah.
And then things are better and they fall in love and blah, 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 blah.
I'm shocked.
One of the reasons I didn't like this is that it just felt kind of quick.
Mm-hmm. I feel like for like 3/4 of the book, they hate each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have this fight. They're like friends for like a couple pages. And then they're, like, in love, and then the book ends. Like, the book
ends. And then
they're
fucking in the kitchen.
The book ends during their, like, they have a sex scene, and the book just ends. Like, that's it, you know?
Yeah. I think this is true about all of the books, is they flash kind of backwards and forwards in time. Or, like, they flash back and then flash to the present. And I don't feel like this one does it as much. And if it does, it's not as well done.
It's really not.
It's not as obvious.
Because in this one, I feel like the only flashback almost the whole book is a flashback because the first chapter is, like, right before they fuck in the kitchen.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my god, is he flirting with me? Why is he so close?
And then it's, like, 3 months ago, and then the whole book, and then you finally get back to where she was, which I don't think is, like, how the other books really go as much.
So, overall, this is not my favorite.
No.
But I think because each of the main characters are friends and there's like a backstory to them.
I'm gonna talk about this later.
Okay.
Because
we'll return to this plot point.
Yeah, I just thought, I don't, you said something about this earlier, or like not earlier in our lives when we were conversing about this book. I don't know that enemies to lovers is the greatest thing for a novella.
No.
Because it's just like,
it takes backstory and it takes time to develop. Yeah. And I think the part about enemies to lovers that's so good is when they finally get together and there's the resolution of all of this tension, and that takes time to really,
and I don't feel
through.
Like they even built up that much sexual tension in like
they're just pissed
and then they're fucking and you're like, what?
And again, the logistics of this sex scene confusing because she's supposed to be like this 4'11" 5-foot gal and he's like 6'6". And they're fucking at the kitchen counter, and, like, your body parts do not align.
No, they don't.
I know, like, they do not. Anyways.
Yeah.
Logistically challenging.
The second sex scene, though, because they have the kitchen one, and then they have, like, a bedroom or a bath.
I don't remember
if it was in the shower or in the bed. But the second one made a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But then it ends, and you're like,
what the heck?
What?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the next one?
Yes. So the next one is called Stuck With You, and this is about Sadie. She's the second.
I like this one.
I really like this one. She's the second one in the friend group, or one of the second friend. And she's a civil engineer, and she's working for a small firm in New York City. And she meets this guy named Eric. Think Norse god. And so they end up meeting outside of her office building. She has this kind of, like, client pitch ritual where she eats a croissant from this bakery that's in the bottom.
And it's a shitty croissant.
The bottom floor of their building. And the guy in front of her just bought the last croissant. And she's, like, he overhears her arguing, not arguing, but, like, talking with the cashier.
Because she's like, what do you mean this is the last croissant? I need this croissant.
And he's like, here, have the croissant. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Just eat the croissant. And so they kind of hit it off. And they end up talking. And she finds out, or they're talking about her pitch, blah, blah, blah. They end up going on, like, a day-long date, essentially.
Yeah.
And then she later finds out that he is the partner, or one of the partners, at this really big engineering firm that
she works at, like, a smaller environmental, or not.
An environmentally conscious
firm. Environmentally conscious.
And so later on, she gives the pitch, and then she ends up finding out that his firm actually pitched to these clients as well, and the clients end up going with his firm, and she confronts him in the elevator and is like, you bitch, like, I thought we had this really...
Oh, the thing about the elevator, though.
Yeah, I'm getting...
Okay.
They have this whole confrontation, but they had this really one great date. Like, it was a... They went out to dinner the morning after, or the same day that they met and, like, had the croissants and all that, blah, blah, blah. And they hit it off really well, and then she finds out that the clients went with his firm, so she completely ghosts him and avoids him. And then she's leaving work late one day, and then he's in the elevator with her, and the elevator gets stuck.
Yes, and so the book is, like, flashing back and forth between them and the elevator.
Their conversation.
And, like, what was kind of, like, their happier times, you know?
Their good date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of trying to figure out, like, during it, like, first of all, what did he do?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, like... Because you know that they come back together in the end. Like,
yeah.
It's a romance. You know
they're going to get back together, yeah.
So you, like, once I figured out what had happened to make her upset, I was like, what's the misunderstanding here?
There's something wrong.
Yeah.
And you find out, and it ends up being a misunderstanding. And I think it's really sweet. I don't want to spoil in case anyone wants to read it. But I would say that this is probably my second favorite, and the last one was my favorite.
I think I'd say that too, but I think if you asked me tomorrow, it's very possible that I'd say that this one was my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, they're very neck and neck with for me. I like them both for different, like,
I agree.
There are different things I like about both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last one is called Below Zero, and so this is about Hannah, who's the last friend. So it's Mara, Sadie, and Hannah. And Hannah is an aerospace engineer, and she's working for NASA. And while she's in her PhD, her, Mara, and Sadie are all friends. And for one of their classes, Hannah has to interview someone who's, like, in her desired field, which, you know, like, I've had to do something like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Mara's like, oh my gosh, I have this random cousin. We're, like, not really that close. He works for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the JPL. At NASA, like, let me connect you, and
right.
You can interview him. So, again, this is flashing backwards and forwards, because the first chapter of the book, something completely different is happening, which I will get to. So, Hannah...
I think you should get to it, yeah.
Hannah ends up meeting him, and they really hit it off, and they, like, debug some code together, and they end up making out in his office, and there's the whole scene where he, like, pushes all of the stuff off the desk. Yeah. Fantastic.
So I kind of wonder if that is
semi-based
on the scene that's supposedly been cut out of the AO3 version of The Love Hypothesis.
Do they have sex in his office?
They don't go all the way.
Okay. Anyways, after all that happens, he's like, come have dinner with me. And she's like, aha, no, I'm not a relationship kind of girl, which, like, biggest eye roll ever. And so then you flash forward. Or anyways, the beginning of the book starts off. Hannah graduates from graduate school, obviously we know that, and she's working for NASA, and she ends up going on this mission to
Svalbard, an island close to the North Pole.
Which is supposed to simulate the conditions on Mars, because she wants to work on a Mars rover project. And so the book starts off with her mission's kind of failed, and she's stuck in this crevasse, and her...
You mean... A crevice,
and her ankle is broken, and shit's hitting the fan, and then it's flashing back and forward because Ian is on the way to rescue her. Ian is the love interest.
And
then
she's in a tight spot between a rock and a hard place.
A rock and an icy place.
Yeah.
And so you find out that after she gets back to NASA, she meets Ian again because he works at NASA, blah, blah, blah. He's, like, there giving one of the onboarding trainings. and then flash forwards in time, but still backwards in time. Like,
you're confusing me.
you flash,
and I read the book.
You flash to the more recent past.
Okay.
Where before she goes to
Svalbard, and I'm close to the North Pole.
Yes. She's trying to get this project approved, and she later finds out that Ian is the one who denied the funding for her project, and so she has a bunch of beef with him.
And her boss didn't tell her, like, why Ian didn't approve it, just that Ian was adamant that she should not go, like, mm-hmm. you know. And so her boss secures
the funding for her.
Yeah, so that she can go.
And then she ends up getting hurt on this project. Ian is the one who rescues her.
There's a freak snowstorm, so they can't come get her.
Yeah.
But at the end of the book, I do really like, because the way the stories happen, like, Mara's story happens first in the timeline. Like, so by the time Hannah's story is happening, like, everything happens, like, the way it goes out in the books. So
the other two friends are already in these relationships.
And they all come together at the end to, like, be there for Hannah after she's, like, recovering from her injury.
Yeah.
And they're there with her. And then the guys are all getting... And
it's really
cute. It was so cute. And I was just like, aw, friends. Yes. It was just... It made me happy to see them all together. Because in the books, you're getting their, like... You can hear, like, a... Not, you can hear.
They're like, oh, I FaceTimed.
Yeah. So, like, they're part of the books. Yeah. Like, Hannah and Sadie are part of Mara's book and, like, that kind of stuff. But, like, this is the first time you're seeing all three of them, like, actually together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, everything's coming together.
So cute. Yeah. Which I think is why I like this book more, because as they go on, the novella is easier because there's more backstory that's been given by the previous ones.
So these are my thoughts. I agree with you that, like, the fact that you have more of, like, their backstory as friends mm-hmm. does help, but I don't think that's the worst part. That sounds so rude. The worst part about Under One Roof to me.
Mm.
But the thing that I like is in both Stuck With You and Below Zero, Sadie and Hannah both have a backstory with their love interest, which makes it more interesting. And Mara, it's just like, there's this guy, and I hate him.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's, like, that's why I think I liked both of their books more, is, like, there was a previously established relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, part of the book is figuring out what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, because in Stuck With You, it's just, we are stuck living together, and he's a shitty roommate.
Yeah, and then, like, you know.
He's not as, her love interest is not as developed of a character.
Yeah, those are, I mean, that's just kind of, like, my overall, like, thought about the three of them. I think that those, like, Hannah and Sadie's stories are more fleshed out.
Yeah.
Which is why, even though they're short stories, like, I enjoyed them more.
And I feel like you get to see more of Hannah and Sadie's job than you do for Mara's. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just, most of the book takes place in their home, and you don't really hear about her work at the EPA as much. And I liked hearing more about, especially Hannah's story working for NASA. I think that's part of the reason why I like this book.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, even as someone who's not a science person, mm-hmm. the whole, like, I work at NASA and I'm trying, like, to design, like, a rover for Mars.
That's really freaking cool.
I was like, cool. Like, I want to design a rover for Mars. I just think those two were books that I was like, I wish these were longer. And, like, the first one, I was like, I don't want to read. Yeah. I was, like, getting to the end. I was like, please let this get over with.
Wait, okay. The whole reason we're recording this.
So, yeah, we're recording this episode because on, like, Tuesday, August 23rd, Love on the Brain comes out, which is Allie Hazelwood's newest full-length novel. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to be back on the pod discussing it. We will have an episode for you in the interim.
Yes.
It's just a very important episode to me that we put it out on a certain date.
Yes.
And if you look at the date, you'll probably know why if you've read this book. So remember that if you liked our episode, you can leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening on, because that helps our podcast grow and find more people so that we can actually have more than our friends listen to us. We're also on TikTok, Goodreads, BookTok, and Storygraph. And all of those, like, can be found on our little link tree that's in our Instagram bio. They're probably going to be in the show notes too, because that's usually what I do.
We love our show notes.
I love the show notes. The show notes are my life. I love it. It's spooky season.
No. We fucked up.
You know, it's all over now.